Scripture reading today is found in Matthew 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everybody here on this cold, wintry morning. Sabbath, all but in the presence of our God, our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that we can have that warmth in our heart today, even about that. We know that there are several people missing today, sickness and other things. The LTI is going on in Auburn, so our prayers go out to the LTI there, the Late Training Institute that they have each year. So be with them. And I know that they have a little bit more snow up there than we have here, but it's good to see everybody here, our visitors and all of us that have come out and braved this cold weather. But you know, hearing that low moan or noise early in the morning, it's indicative of pain or grief, when we know that we've got to get out of bed. But hearing that, I know that we all do that there, but I pray that we don't do that on the Sabbath morning, that we are joyfully jump right out of bed, get started, and get ready to come to be together with our brothers and sisters. But we know that that's not always the case. But to know that we can have the gladness in our hearts no matter what happens in our lives, whatever transpires, to know that we have the Lord Jesus Christ to turn to, that we have the Word of God to turn to for comfort, to give us that comfort that we are needed. And this morning I'm going to talk about the mourning. Blessed are those that mourn. And that look, and that's truly that we don't hate it. We hate to see some episode or something that has, where we have to mourn, especially when we lose someone, when a person passes away. The mourning that we have, that many respects we ought to be glad about it. In many ways, for that person doesn't have to worry about anything anymore. They're gone. They're laid asleep, especially in Christ. They're laid asleep in Christ, and so they don't have to go through what yet is to transpire upon this earth. So let's just look at this morning here, but let's have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we just pray that we are in your presence this morning, that you have asked us to come in to sup with thee all the day long. In this day that comes each week, Father, we pray that the day that it goes out, that we start yearning for the next Sabbath to come, Father, so that we may be in your presence. You have called us to come unto thee this one day. You give us 6 days for ourselves, but this one special day that we will be enjoying for eternity, and all the opportunity, the pleasure that we will have one day soon, when we will be able to celebrate it with our Savior and our Redeemer. We're looking forward to it, even though we don't have the words to really express in our minds what has been prepared for us, the mansions that have been prepared for us, and the other things that we have to look forward to, because we will be with our Savior and our Redeemer. Help us to understand it in this life that we have here now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes, blessed are those that mourn, Jesus says. This is one really a strange statement that we have here to see that. It's a paradox and a mystery to be blessed for those who mourn. But what do these strange words mean? Who are the mourners? Why are they sad? And how can they be comforted? We know that there is mystery in human suffering. We look at the past and see how it is, but we don't even have to look back to the past. We see it here in the very presence that we're living in. Of all the human suffering that is going on in the world, especially now, as we mentioned in Sabbath school, and over in the Middle East, what's happening over there, but not just there, in other parts of the world too, South America, Africa, all over the world, the sufferings are going on. And to look at that, one person wants to take another person's life for one group. And for what reason? What gain is there really in taking a life of another one? But they must see that there is that there. But no longer, doesn't matter how long we ponder this question, we can't have an easy answer to it. In many cases, there isn't even an answer, because the secret things belong to the Lord our God. Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us that. The secret things describe the deep purpose of God that we are not capable of understanding. Even reading the Bible, that we still cannot understand it. What sort of explanation can we give to suffice us to understand why one person dies and another one lives? We don't have that capacity. But then we look at the ministry of divine comfort to be with one when we do mourn, especially over a lost one, loved one, but we mourn over our sufferings, our sicknesses that we have and other people have. Why does it happen to this person, to that person? I look at the ones there that when they advertise about the children, all the children that has cancer, and that they in these hospitals that they have. How can a God that is love allow this to happen? So we know that it is a deep mystery, that we will study it for eternity and see that. But we can't leave that matter there, for the Bible says a great deal about it, of how we can be comforted and have that ministry of divine comfort that comes from our God. So God himself draws near to us when we are hurting. Psalm 34:18, if you would turn to there today. Psalm 34:18 for our first reading for today. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. That's from the New International Version. Here's a promise of God's special presence in the midst of our pain. We pray that he is there for all these things through us, through our pain. And through the Holy Spirit, the Lord himself draws us near to us in a time of great suffering. And we know that we all have suffered in one way or another, whether it's with a lost one or with a sickness or someone else in our family or the ones that we know, acquaintances that we know there. But we sense his presence in a way that, you know, no other person can give us that feeling that goes beyond the natural. We hear his voice when there's no sound coming. And that's to hear that. And many Christians can testify to the feeling of this special sense of God's presence during a time of great suffering. We know that God draws us near to him during our suffering. David declared, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." To have no fear. We really don't know what that is, not to have fear, because we all do have fear. But yet the fear that can go, that we have our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives now through it all. What a comfort that can be to us. And so suffering, we pray, that turns us to the Lord. There's many that don't turn away through their suffering, that they can't understand why God allows it, so it does turn them away. But through our suffering, if we are Christ, that would turn us to God for answers, for comfort, to help us there and see that and help us through. You probably have heard someone say, "You never know if Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have." And when Jesus is all you have, then and only then will you discover that Jesus is all that you need. That we do that. That's all we need, is the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And I pray that each one of us will have that, to be there. And that we grow faster in hard times than in good times. That may not seem possible, but it is. We can grow faster during these hard times, even though that we're not asking for it. So let's turn to Romans chapter 5, if you would. Romans chapter 5. verses 2 through 5. Romans 5, 2 through 5, where here it describes the progress God uses to develop a godly character in us and in our lives. And we read that 2 through 5. By whom also ye have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So we started to see that there. There in verse 3, Paul tells us that we rejoice or glory in our tribulations and our sufferings, that we should be doing that. To someone that might sound like it's a misprint, but it isn't. Paul isn't suggesting that we should rejoice in hard times, or as if we enjoy the pain, because we know that we don't enjoy any pain. And that wouldn't even be a Christian idea to have. He doesn't say we rejoice because of our sufferings, but he says that we rejoice in our sufferings that we have, that God allows us to have. Even during our difficult, most difficult moments, God's people can rejoice because he is there at work in our lives. Something is important to us that God will be there. Verse 3 through 5 there explains that process. Let's just read that again, 3 through 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Yes, patience, to have that patience that we need in our lives. And I know that in most cases I'm not a person of patience. I don't have that much patience. And it shows a lot of times, even with my wife, that I don't have patience with my wife, especially with the problems that she has there. But what starts out with suffering ends with the love of God, if we are truly Christ, to have that love of God in our sufferings that we are going through here. It's a wonderful progression that we can have in our lives, to have that love of God, to know that, and that we need to start with our place in suffering to be able to feel the love of God in us there. And our sufferings also qualify us to minister to others. And here's one of the greatest things for our sufferings to do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, our scripture meditation for today. 2 Corinthians 1, 4. Who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. To have that. We need that. God comforts us in all of our troubles, if we will turn to Him, only turn to Him, so that we can comfort others in trouble, that are in trouble. Even many that may not even ask for it, to be able to comfort them. But in truth, when they do ask for it, that we can comfort them. Most of the times, not in words, in silence also, that though. And we see that in the Greek word translated comfort there in this verse is the same word that Christ used in Matthew 5, 4. God uses our suffering to comfort us, so that we can minister to others in their comfort, in their suffering, and in His name that we can do these things. No one understands cancer better than the one that has went through it. No one understands divorce like one who has experienced it. No one understands the pain of a miscarriage like a mother who has lost a child that way. No one understands or knows the pain of losing a job like someone who has been told you're fired. I'm thankful that I never had to experience that. Many Christians are superbly qualified to minister to others, but they don't know it. They don't realize it. They're the ones who have been deeply hurt themselves by the troubles of life. And through it all, they have discovered that God is there for them. God is faithful in all of our sufferings. These people have an important message to share to others. They can say with conviction, God will take care of you. I know because God took care of me. We know that through my wife's sufferings and everything, that God has taken care of both of us and will continue to do so. Number three, the majesty of God's sovereignty. What are these things that teach us about the character of God? Because God is sovereign and we are not, most of our questions will never be answered in this life. Yes, so many questions that were going to be answered once we have been received of God. And then many of our answers will be given to us. Some people can't live now with the truth. So they devise human ways to take care of their suffering, to explain suffering and death, even to others. And we know that those answers most usually do not work. And they can hurt in many ways more than they can help. When her pastor is called to a hospital, he's never able to answer those hard questions. They are beyond the person. It is better to say less and be silent before the Lord than try to explain the mysteriousness of God, His ways. But because God is good, we know that He has our best interest at heart. And we should, for each other that are suffering, we should have their best interest at heart also. If you would turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. And that sentence I just read goes to the heart of Romans 8, 28. Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We should be able to convince that the goodness of God is a central issue of life, and it is. God's goodness. So good, so great, so loving that He sent His only Son here to die for each and every one of us so that we all might live. And if we believe God is good, we can endure things that come our way that we have to, there that most people would break over. We know that we can live with unanswered questions. But once you doubt God's goodness, we either become a secret atheist, or we become an angry Christian. And as I said earlier, there are many that through suffering do become angry. They testify to the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet they become angry because they don't understand. They don't take the word as it reads, that God will help us through all of our sufferings and comfort us, and that one day things will be made right. There will be no sickness, no more death, no more suffering. But we know that God's goodness does not depend on our happiness, even though God wants us to be happy to see that. We know that God is wise. Nothing in our experience is wasted. Even our sufferings are not wasted. God's purpose for His children is reached through suffering. And nothing is wasted. Romans verse 8, there, verse 29, the next verse. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Predestined to become in the image of Christ. What a wonderful blessing that is given there, to have that image of Christ, and that will be restored, is being restored now. It was lost there in the Garden of Eden, but now we know that it will be restored. We see that. Ellen White explains the concept in Volume 6 of the Seventh-day Adventist Commentary, page 1078. Though the moral image of God was almost obliterated by the sin of Adam, through the merits and power of Jesus it may be renewed. Man may stand with the moral image of God in his character, for Jesus will give it to him. If you feel the heavy weight of God hammering down on you, rest assured that nothing is being wasted. He is shaping you into the image of God, into the image of his Son. All that there, we know that God is love, that he will not leave us alone in our sufferings. And as I said, we've all suffered. We all will suffer before our lives are taken from us there. But that promise there given in the second beatitude, but there, blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. Matthew 5:4. What a feeling that we should have over that, to know that we have the comfort of our God. To have that feeling, even though that we know that God is not right here with us. We're not able to see him or the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can feel his presence, even though there is no sound. So we see that. But he's going to come for you and me. We may not feel it. We may not believe it. But we know it is true because God has promised it. And his promises are true and trustworthy. We know that we probably all can look and find a long list of witnesses who could testify to God's comfort in the midst of the great suffering that we went through. Taking the Bible itself and using it there, but then in her own lives, many of the witnesses that are able to testify to God's comfort to them. We know that after Calvary, God had nothing to prove to man. We know he was still willing to vindicate his law. But how can we doubt his love? How can any one of us, male or female, doubt his love after looking at the bleeding Christ upon the cross? To keep the cross before us ever, to do that, to know that our Christ is there, to be able to see that, and then to be able to look at the ladder there that Jacob saw, with the ladder there in the ground, with Jesus Christ there at the ground, interceding with man. And we look to the top of the ladder and see Jesus Christ interceding with God the Father. In that connection with that ladder between heaven and earth. And we know that Jesus Christ is the central figure. So we just pray this morning that we keep looking to the God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, for that comfort that we need when we mourn. We know that we cannot answer any questions, but it doesn't answer the most important question that we have. Does God care for me? Each one of us this morning can ask that question, whether God cares for you or for me. To see that, especially in the midst of our suffering, and for where all are probably suffering in one way or another, to one degree or another, even though that we may not look it or we may not tell anybody about it, but there may be cause for suffering in each one of our lives. And we know that the answer is yes. God cares for you and for me, or he would not have sent Jesus to us. And if anyone can doubt his love, as I said, all we have to do is to fix our gaze upon the cross. We are thankful, though, that Jesus is not on the cross now, for he once paid that price once and for all, so he does not hang up on the threads. But there are many that try to keep him still there on that cross, to start all over again his suffering. But we know that that is not true, because God, through Jesus Christ, has made it possible for us to have the comfort in the surety of eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord God paid the price that all of us, so that all of us might live. Yes, our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that we will keep our eyes upon our Lord. For we know that through our seeing and through our ears, that we may be mold our lives to know truly thy word, Father, to understand the plan of redemption, to understand that through whatever we go through on this earth, thou art there with us to help us through, to help us through our good times, to help us through our pain and our suffering that we have. So, Father God, we just pray as we go from this place, we feel that true presence, you in our lives, even in this time of cold weather. We just pray for that help and that guidance and truth, that we may stray warm, that our hearts are warmed with overflowing with the love of our living and gracious God, allowing the Savior to come to collect us and to take us home for eternity. We pray, Father, that each one of us will be able to meet on the sea of glass, and that we will be with our Lord forever and ever. We thank thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen.